Well, this morning, we're going to be in John chapter 10, but first let's look at where we left off last week in John chapter 9. Remember in John chapter 9, the Lord healed a man who was born blind. And to me, one of the sadder chapters, because here's this man who'd never seen a day in his life. The Lord healed him. And you'd think that'd be a glorious day, and it was for him. But when the religious leaders found out, they didn't like that so much, remember? They maligned Jesus. They maligned the man himself. Remember, they said, well, Jesus is a sinner. He's not from God. They brought in the man's parents, remember that? And said, well, what happened? And the parents said, well, we know he's our son, and we know he was born blind, but how he was healed, I don't know. Ask him. He's old enough to tell you. He's grown up. And so they bring the man in again, remember, and they grill him again. But while the man's listening to what their arguments are, he's putting together his own argument, and he knows now, well, if only people from God can heal, then this man is from God because he healed me. And he got a little impatient, remember? And they end up, the Pharisees, end up kicking him out of the synagogue. How tragic. I mean, these are the leaders, the spiritual leaders of this nation, and they're supposed to be caring for their sheep, and they don't care at all. And so we also learned that in John chapter 9, the Lord revealed the spiritual blindness of the Pharisees and the religious leaders. So today, when we're in John chapter 10, it kind of carries on. After healing a man, we saw how the man responded. We saw how the leadership responded. Now in John chapter 10, we're going to talk about the true shepherd. So if you have your Bibles today, we're going to be in John chapter 10, and we're going to talk about the true shepherd. Isn't that cute? That's cute. Anybody like lamb chop? No, never mind. There's some interesting things about sheep that you probably didn't know, but sheep actually have very good memories. They can remember at least 50 individual sheep and humans for years. And they do this by using sort of a similar neural process that the human brain has. To remember, I read one article that said they could put them through a maze, and they can remember that maze for up to 22 months. So, you know, we always think of sheep as kind of maybe dumb, maybe, but they're not really. Whoa. Must be a punk rocker, I don't know. All different kinds of sheep, aren't there? So they are extremely intelligent. They can solve problems. I read one article that said if the sheep is sick, he'll actually go and find foliage, herbs and stuff or that are healing for him, and it'll actually help him heal. So, but they seem to have an IQ about on the level of cattle, and they're almost as clever as pigs. So they're not dumb. And of course, they make great pets, I'm told. I'm sure it would be easy to love one of those little furry things, but sheep also, they make different sounds, and they make, to communicate their different emotions, and they also display, and they can recognize emotion by facial expressions. So here's a quiz. What's this guy thinking? I don't know what that facial expression means, but maybe he doesn't like his picture taken. I don't know. This guy, they're like, I know something you don't know. But interesting, you know, they can recognize facial expression. Sheep are also precocial. They're highly independent from birth, and they can also, of course, they're gregarious. They like to be in a group. Just a note here. I don't want anybody counting these during the sermon, if you catch my drift. Yeah. You get? Okay. Never mind. All right. So five things regarding the true shepherd. The true shepherd versus the thief. We're going to look at the true shepherd versus the hireling. We're going to look at the sacrifice of the true shepherd, the security the true shepherd provides, and then finally the opposition the true shepherd faces. So again, if you have your Bibles, John chapter 10. Now, this is a picture of a sheepfold. So at night, or if the shepherd needed to, they could bring their sheep into this sheepfold. You see a gate there. And a lot of times, if depending on the size of it, different shepherds would bring their sheep. So you could have several different herds of sheep in that sheepfold. Usually there'd be somebody, a doorkeeper, watching the door to let people in and out. So that's kind of probably what a sheepfold, that is what a sheepfold would look like. So John chapter 10, verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Here's another picture, and now in this case, see where the door is? That's the shepherd. He's the door. So when Jesus says, I am the door, that's the picture that he has in mind here. Nobody's going to get to his sheep except over him. So let's look at the true shepherd versus the thief. First of all, what does it say about the true shepherd? Well, the true shepherd enters by the door. He doesn't need to come in any other way. He comes in by the door because the sheep belong to him. Also, he's let in by the doorkeeper. The doorkeeper knows him. He's the true shepherd. Those are his sheep in the sheepfold. So he's going to be able to have access to those sheep because they belong to him. Thirdly, his sheep hear and know his voice. A shepherd would walk into the sheepfold. He would have his sheep in there with maybe other sheep from other flocks. And he could use his voice and make some sort of call, and all the sheep that were his would recognize that voice and they would follow him out. Here's the great news. He calls his sheep by name. Does he know your name? Of course he knows your name. He calls you by name. He knows everything about you. The shepherd knows his sheep. They understand and hear his voice. They know his voice. And he calls them by name. And he leads his sheep and they follow him. His sheep, it says, will be saved. Saved from what? From destruction. His sheep will be cared for. Who's going to take good care of their sheep? Well, the shepherd will. They're his sheep. And his sheep will have abundant life. Now, what's abundant life mean? I mean, I think sometimes we think of abundant life and we think of things, maybe, right? But I don't think that's what's in mind here, abundant life. Isn't it a blessing to know what the meaning of life is? If you're a believer today, you understand why we're here. You understand what our mission is. And you understand that God provides everything we need to carry out that mission. So that's abundant life. There's a lot of people on this earth, and I'm sure most of you in here know people, who don't have a clue why they're here, what's going on, why things happen, what they're supposed to be doing. I used to be like that. I hate to be like that now. And I'm glad the Lord has saved me. But abundant life, not just living day to day, but knowing why we're here and being able to do something to bring honor and glory to God. That's abundant life. That's a great privilege. What about the thief? Well, the thief, of course, does not enter by the door. The thief is going to crawl up some other way, climb up the rocks or whatever he has to do to get into the sheep, but he's not going to enter by the door. Secondly, the sheep won't follow him for sure, right? Because they don't recognize his voice. So the thief is going to come, and the sheep are going to recognize that that's not their shepherd. They're not going to follow him. And so the sheep will probably scatter. They're going to think, okay, somebody in here is strange. Somebody in here doesn't belong. It's not our shepherd. And they're going to panic a little bit, probably, and they're going to scatter. And it says the thief is going to kill the sheep. Why is he there to begin with? Why would a thief be there? He's there to kill the sheep. He's there or to steal the sheep. But ultimately, he's going to destroy the sheep. That's what the thief wants to do. Quite a contrast between the thief and the true shepherd. Let's keep going. Verse 11 in John 10, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Okay, so the true shepherd versus the hireling. Now we're told that the true shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He would do anything to save the sheep, including give his life. You know, we're familiar with another parable that our Lord told in the Gospel of Luke, right, about the shepherd who lost one sheep, and he left the 99 to go find that one sheep. And you remember the outcome of that? When he finds the sheep, what happens? There's great rejoicing, right? He found the one lost sheep, and so there was rejoicing. People rejoice with him because he found the sheep that was lost. The shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The hireling won't. And again, the true shepherd knows his sheep. Now, there's going to be some recurring themes here, but it's because the Lord keeps repeating them, so they must be kind of important, but the shepherd knows his sheep. He knows everything about us. Every detail, he knows our thoughts, the intents of our heart. He knows it all. And his sheep, again, know him. What about the hireling? Well, the hireling, it says, flees when the sheep are in danger. And there could be all kinds of danger. There could be thieves and robbers. There could be wild animals. But the hireling, he's there for one thing, right? What's he there for? He's there for the dinero. He's there for the payday. That's why he's there. So if something's coming, he's not going to stick around. He causes the sheep to scatter again because the hireling's not going to try to defend the sheep. He's taken off. I'm not paid enough money to do this, probably in his estimation. So he leaves. And he has no vested interest in the sheep. Would he lay down his life for the sheep? No. No, he wouldn't. The shepherd would, but the hireling, he doesn't care. He's getting out of there. He doesn't really care about the sheep. Now, do we have any instances of hirelings in this gospel that we've read so far? Well, yeah, last week we had a great example of hirelings. What did the Pharisees and the religious leaders really care about the sheep? I mean, the Lord's healed several people already in the Gospel of John, right? And every time he's healed somebody, they don't go and rejoice and thank the Lord that someone's been healed. They want to attack Jesus. They don't really care about the sheep. They care about their position and their power and their prestige. That's what they care about. They're hirelings. There's a picture of a shepherd who's not a hireling. He's going to try to drive those wolves away because he does have a vested interest in those sheep. John 10:14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was division again among the Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, well, he has a demon. He's mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, well, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Let's now talk about the sacrifice of the true shepherd. We've said it once before and we'll say it again. He lays down his life for the sheep. What kind of sheep are we? I mean, weren't we enemies of God? Strangers? But yet, the shepherd laid down his life for us. While we were enemies, while we deserved to be separated from God forever, but because of his mercy and grace, he lays down his life for his sheep. Now, he also makes a statement here. He says it will benefit other sheep. He says, I also have other sheep. Who's the other sheep? Raise your hands, everybody. Yes, Gentiles. Thank the Lord for that, right? Praise the Lord. And what does it say about us Gentiles? We're all together. There's one sheep, one sheepfold, and one shepherd overall. Yay. I'm glad God had mercy. But other sheep will benefit. He says it causes his Father to love him because, you know, here's the Son doing exactly what the Father says he's supposed to do, even to the point of giving up his life for the sheep. And the Father looks down and says, that's exactly what he's supposed to be doing. I've given him sheep. He's doing exactly what he needs to do for those sheep. Now, Jesus here reveals something. He reveals he has the power and authority to lay down his life and to take it up again. Does anybody have that authority or power? Now, somebody might say, well, I can take my life, right? I mean, you might be able to do something terrible and take your own life. But can you take it up again? No. There's only one person who can make this statement, and that's Jesus. He has the power to lay down his life and to take it up again. And when we get later on in this gospel, of course, we're going to see how that plays out and some other things that he says about that. But he's laying down his life for the sheep willingly. He has the authority to do it, and he also has the power and authority to take it up again, which I'm very thankful for, aren't you? Without the resurrection, we'd be in sad shape. But again, his words are causing division. Of course, they want to accuse him already again of having a demon. But there's others who say, no, can a man who has a demon open the eyes of the blind? So we're going back to the last chapter. They can't deny what he's doing. So here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's a lamb too, isn't he? Let's keep going in John 22. Now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and we would call that Hanukkah. And it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. So did Jesus ever say he was the Messiah? Did he ever claim that? He says he did. I told you that. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who gives them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The true shepherd provides security for his sheep. Now, first of all, the true shepherd's sort of challenged by the false sheep. They really wanted to know if he was the true shepherd. And, you know, to a point, you really can't blame him because other false messiahs had come in the past. And it turned out, of course, they were false messiahs. So when Jesus comes along and makes these claims, well, it behooves them to check it out. But now, so far, we've seen 2 years, almost going on 3 years, and there's plenty of evidence of what he's done and who he has been and what he's been doing. The true shepherd told them to look at his works. So if you don't believe what I'm saying, look at what I'm doing. And then compare that with what the Bible in the Old Testament says I'm supposed to be doing. Do they match? Well, of course, they did match. The true shepherd provides security for his sheep because they hear his voice again. This is like the third time now this has come up. And they follow him. Where do we hear the Lord's voice, by the way? Yeah, the main place we hear the Lord's voice is in his word. Think about that. He's given us his word to communicate exactly who he is, exactly what his plan is, exactly what he demands us to do, who he demands us to be, what he wants us to do, how he wants us to do it. He's given us his book. We hear his voice when we read his word. And he's given us his spirit so that when we do read his word, his spirit teaches us, reveals truth to us. So we can truly hear his voice and follow him. Now, the true shepherd's sheep again have eternal life. You can say amen anytime because eternal life is a really good thing to have if you're a sheep. And the true shepherd's sheep will never perish. Now, I put both of those in there. You say that's kind of redundant. Well, it is, but he's making a point here. Eternal life and never perish. The true shepherd provides security for his sheep. They're never going to be snatched away from the true shepherd. Hallelujah. You're never going to be able to snatch one of the Lord's sheep from him. You can't snatch him out of his hand. If he says they can never be snatched away, then I believe that. And I'm thankful for that. But he goes a step further and he says, and oh, by the way, you can't snatch him out of my Father's hand either. The Father is the one who gave me these sheep. You can't take them out of my hand, and you certainly can't take them out of his hand. Because the true shepherd and the Father are one. And that's another, hopefully that all of this stuff can make you say amen all the time, because I'm glad they're one. I'm going to say kind of a little bit of a detour here and talk a little bit about security, okay? Because, you know, there's a lot of confusion out there sometimes about can you lose your salvation? Are we eternally secure? Well, I've picked a few passages, but in Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 5, Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Since believers were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, can God unchoose them? I don't think so. Since believers were predestined to be adopted as children of God, can they be unadopted? I don't think so. By the way, who chooses the parents and the child? Who, in an adoption process, how does that work? Does the child choose the parents? No, the parent chooses the child, right? Predestined, chosen. We can't be unchosen. We can't be unadopted. What does Paul say in Romans? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's pretty stout. There's a lot of nor this, nor that, nor this. So if nothing can separate a believer from the love of God, then is there someone more powerful than God? I don't think so. If nobody can separate us from God, then the only way that happens is if there's somebody more powerful than God, and I don't think there is. In fact, I know there isn't. And 1 John 5, and this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So, does eternal life mean eternal? I hope so. I mean, I don't know how to understand it if it doesn't, but eternal life means eternal. How can a believer know they have eternal life if it's impossible to know? If you say you can't know, well then, why does John mean when he says we can know, we have eternal life? Of course we can know. All right, back to John. Here we go again. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Verse 31. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Well, the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say to him whom the Father sanctified and sent him into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore, they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. They just don't give up, do they? So the true shepherd faces opposition. The Jews once more tried to stone the true shepherd. And it just shows you again, it reveals their heart. They didn't care that the true shepherd was here. They didn't care that he was doing good works, taking care of the sheep like they were supposed to be doing. They wanted to get rid of him. Also, that means that they understood what the true shepherd was claiming. They knew exactly what he was saying, who he was saying he was. And the true shepherd was doing what a true shepherd should be doing. He was taking care of the flock. That's what a true shepherd should be doing. That's what he was doing. They didn't like that. And they didn't really care. And here the true shepherd reiterates again his relationship with the Father. They're one. So again, the Jews try to seize the true shepherd and are unsuccessful. You know, one of the most famous passages, especially you hear this passage a lot when you're at a funeral, is the 23rd Psalm. And you may have seen this before, but I call this the remix because this is really good. But, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. Aren't you glad you have a relationship with the true shepherd? He knows your name. You know his voice. You can follow him. I shall not want. That's supply. He supplies everything we need in this life. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. You know, the world is pretty turbulent right now, wouldn't you say? Isn't it comforting to know that we can rest? We know the end from the beginning. we know whose sheep we are. We know who cares for us. He leads me beside the still waters. That's refreshment. Again, it's easy to not be refreshed. We get too panicky. We get too stressed out. We need refreshment. We need to sit down by the still water sometimes. He provides that for us. He provides refreshment. He restores my soul. That's healing. Because you know what? We're not perfect, are we? We have issues we face. We sin. But he restores our soul. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he heals us. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. That's guidance. Where should I go? What should I do? Well, the Lord's provided that in his word. He's given us guidance. He's given us his spirit. He's given us his word. And guess what? He's given us each other. We all have different gifts for the purposes of building up this body, so we know where we're supposed to be going, what we're supposed to be doing. For his name's sake, that's purpose. Again, we know what we're supposed to be doing and who we're supposed to be honoring and glorifying. We know who that is. We don't have to guess about that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's testing. We get tested, don't we? Every day we have testing, we have trials. I will fear no evil. That's protection. You know, you see a picture of the shepherd, and what does he have in his hand usually? He usually has a shepherd's crook, doesn't he? What's the shepherd's crook do? Well, for one thing, it can pull sheep out of some very precarious places, but also he uses that to defend off wild animals. That's protection. For thou art with me. That's faithfulness. Isn't it great that someday the Lord doesn't wake up one morning and say, I'm tired of that Henry Hart. I mean, I wouldn't blame him if he did, but I'm tired of him. I'm done with him. He's with me. He's faithful. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's discipline. We need discipline, don't we? Sometimes we like to get off the track. What does Isaiah say about sheep? All we like sheep have what? Gone astray. Sheep have a tendency to do that. We need discipline sometimes, and he's faithful to do that. Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That's hope. Surrounded by enemies, and yet we're not going to succumb. We're not going to be overtaken by our enemies because of what the Lord has prepared for us. Thou anoints my head with oil. That's consecration. You're one of his sheep. You're set apart. You belong to him. My cup runs over. That's abundance. Remember, he said earlier in this chapter in John 10, what kind of life? Abundant life. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. Anybody in here blessed today? Everybody in here should have their hands up. We're all blessed. Just to be able to move and breathe and have fellowship with other believers and talk about the Lord and not worry about outside interference and so many blessings. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security. Where are you going to dwell? In the Lord's house. And how long? Forever. That's eternity. We have a great shepherd, don't we? The true shepherd. Psalm 22, of course, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And, you know, the first verse of Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where do we hear that before? When the Lord's on the cross, right? The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And then Psalm 23, like we just read, the great shepherd cares for the sheep. Hebrews 13, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work and to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. The great shepherd. And then In Psalm 24, the chief shepherd, that's the psalm that talks about who is this King of Glory, and the King of Glory is going to come in. The Lord's coming back. The shepherd's coming back. He's going to return. And Peter makes a reference in 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And by the way, Peter here is talking about under shepherds. The context of this is he's talking about people who care for sheep. And he says, when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory if you've been a faithful under shepherd, like the Pharisees were supposed to be. So Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We've seen this already, but so he's a sheep. He's the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is the door. Anyone entering his sheepfold must come through him. You can't get into the sheepfold except through him. And the good shepherd who cares, Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who cares for his sheep and keeps them eternally secure. Here's a telltale verse, and you'll recognize this. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, that's Herod, of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Well, so they said to him, well, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. What is he supposed to be doing? Shepherding his people. What was he doing? Shepherding his people. It's funny how they knew the verse and they could say that, well, we know where Jesus is supposed to come from and we know what he's supposed to be doing. They knew that at his birth, and they must have forgotten in a few years since then, huh? So far in John, we've looked at the IMs. We said there's seven of them. Probably more than that, but we looked in John 6 when he said, I am the bread of life. In John 8, he said, he's the light of the world. And now in this chapter, there's two things. He says, I am the door, and I am the good shepherd. And of course, there'll be some more to fill in. But in this chapter, the door and the good shepherd. Let's look at some points to ponder. Jesus Christ is the lamb, he's the door, and he's the good shepherd. I'm thankful for all of those. I'm thankful that he's the Lamb. Without his sacrifice, I wouldn't have any hope. Neither would you. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb of God. There is no other sacrifice for your sin. You have to acknowledge that sin, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and guess what? You get to go into the sheepfold. I'm very thankful he's the door. He's protecting. He's keeping out everything that wants to harm me and hurt me and scatter me and destroy me. And he's the good shepherd. He takes care of me every day. Second of all, believers in Jesus Christ are eternally secure. I still didn't get an amen on that one. Eternally secure. So nothing separates us from God's love. Nothing. Again, if you're here this morning and you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't claim this. You're not eternally secure. You need to put your faith in him this morning. Thirdly, the enemy wants to kill, steal, scatter, and destroy the sheep. You know, we're eternally secure, right? But what does he want to do then? If he can't get our soul, he wants to destroy our testimony, doesn't he? I mean, the main reason we're here is to glorify God. And if the enemy can get us to do anything but that, he succeeded. And that's what he wants to do. If Jesus is our shepherd, then we must hear his voice, that is, listen to what he says, and follow or obey him. Sheep are intelligent. Sheep are gregarious. They like to be in groups. We need to be in groups. But most of all, sheep need to hear their shepherd's voice and follow him. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're grateful that you've given us this passage of Scripture. We see a stark contrast from the previous chapter where your son healed a man who was born blind, and instead of having the religious leaders and the supposed shepherds rejoicing, praising you, they were all the more bent on killing your son. Now we know ultimately, Father, that your son does lay down his life for the sheep. The Lamb of God, Father, we're so grateful that he did that, because without that, again, we would have no hope in this life. So I pray, Father, if there's anyone here this morning who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that this morning they would see their need, confess their sin, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. For believers this morning, Father, we've been blessed. We've been given your word. We've been given your spirit. We have a shepherd who loves us. We have a shepherd who we can trust. And yet sometimes, Father, we act like we can't trust the shepherd. And we wander off on our own. But thankfully, Father, we have your word. We have your spirit. And we have other believers to care for one another. We're so grateful for that blessing. So, Father, today I would pray for those of us who have made a profession of faith, that today you'd help us to be faithful in listening to your voice and following you, obeying what it says. The world desperately needs to see that. Thank you for the opportunities we have before us. In Christ's name, amen.